This morning our scripture is from Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart will not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet will I be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God, of my salvation. If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Keep your heart and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Read.
I would invite us to have a prayer. God, we thank you that we serve a living God and that this is a living word. We invite your Holy Spirit to be present with us and to convict us as we figure out together how to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in our Lenten series, we are continuing with the theme of living ink and thinking about our stories, thinking about how our stories are also a part of God's story. And last week, we had the theme of thinking about how God is the author of our own story. And I would really encourage you after the service to go over and take a look at some of the things that we have written together of how we acknowledge God as the author of our own story. To me, when we talk about how we figure out together, this is part of that. And that we learn from one another, we encourage one another on the journey. And we're going to also have an opportunity to do that after the sermon today as well, as you have a sheet of paper. And as we think together in our own stories of where we find hope in our story in the midst of difficult times. It's appropriate to think about hope in the midst of difficult times during this season of Lent. Lent is often a time to really recognize the broken world that we live in. It's a time that we journey to the cross together. And if you imagine Jesus' own journey to the cross, Jesus clearly knew the mission that he was sent to this earth for, and that was a mission to the cross and a mission of resurrection. And so can you imagine the own emotions that Jesus was feeling on his Lenten journey to the cross? He had to have fear and times of darkness and times of just tears. And in many ways, that represents our own journey as we acknowledge the own places of fear in our lives, the places of brokenness, the places where we need one another and we need God. And so we think about this in our personal lives, and we're thinking about this as a church community as well. And it's not hard in our own church community to find places where there have been a lot of difficult things that you guys have walked through together. And so I would encourage all of us to kind of be thinking about the past, and then also be thinking about stories in your own life right now of where you might feel that fear or feel that that own darkness that we all could acknowledge in many ways. Oftentimes our stories, I believe, play out like the story that we have in Psalms here. It's a story of praise, and then a story of crying out, and then a story of praise again. We praise, we cry, and we praise. The psalm as it appears today in the Bible begins with praise. And it's appropriate that it starts with praise. Because the reason I believe many of the psalms start with praise is that it acknowledges that first and foremost, God is at work in our lives. That whatever is going on, God is still God. And the psalms often have this literary theme going through it. It holds all these emotions together. But it starts with praise. And I think that's significant. It doesn't start first with the tears or the fear, but it starts with the praise. But then it does move to lament and uncertainty in 7 to 12. And then it returns to praise in 13 and 14. It is cyclic, just as our lives are. We praise, we cry, and we praise. It is the very stuff of our own stories. It's the stuff of our existence. And so let's look at the first verses here, this first section. These are words of confidence in the Lord, beginning with the familiar question, if God is my light and my salvation and my stronghold, what is there to fear? The third verse gives a possible circumstance for the fear. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear, though war rise up against me. I think just naming there that war creates incredible amount of fear. Boy, you could talk about that for a whole sermon series. I just cannot imagine the incredible fear that many around the world are feeling right now. In Syria, in Venezuela, where there's also a lot of conflict right now. Many countries that are dealing with ethnic violence. Countries where there is such conflict over simply clean drinking water. And when there is such a scarcity of clean drinking water, the way that competing communities fight for that very thing that we take for granted when we turn the faucet on. But can you imagine the fear that comes in the midst of war? And we have a refugee crisis right now around the world. Can you imagine the fear that they feel as they have to leave their home in the midst of uncertainty? And so the very thing that David is expressing here in this psalm of fear in the midst of war is something that is a very real thing in our world today as well. And yet these words of praise, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, I will be confident. Would we be able to say that today, right now? Then the second section, in 7 to 10. In the midst of a lot of praise, there is also this very real recognition of uncertainty, of a little bit of doubt, maybe even, in the words, in the pen of David. Something has upset the peace and tranquility of this last stanza. And the one who was very securely at home and not fearing now could possibly be lost. Could God now seem a little bit more distant? Could some of that connection have been broken? Words from David that say, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud." Or, "Do not hide your face from me, O God." Or, "Do not cast me off or forsake me." The reason I love this psalm is because of the great tension that it holds. Perhaps a good word is dichotomy. Composed of seemingly two entirely different parts. The one magnificent confession of unshakable trust in God, of praise. And the other part, just one line later, of fearful prayer of lament. "Do not hide your face from me." So great is this contrast that some scholars actually suggest that this has to be two separate psalms. There's no way someone could put all these emotions together. And yet, maybe that's part of the beauty of this psalm, that it does hold them together. There is a deep spiritual explanation here that rings so true in our own lives, that at the very moment we can be praising God and worshiping God, even this morning that singing was just so moving. I felt the Holy Spirit as Dean and Trish and Alana were leading us there. Even as we were worshiping God there, all of us in different ways could have been feeling different emotions of fear or doubt or uncertainty at the very same time. Or maybe in the back of our mind are distracted by a bill that we're not sure how it's going to get paid. Or maybe in the back of our mind, even as we're worshiping God, are thinking about a sickness that we're going through. Or maybe in the back of our mind, we're thinking about a good friend who's really depressed right now. and we're questioning where God is at in that person's life, isn't it amazing how different emotions can encapture us in almost the immediate same time? That we praise God and yet have to acknowledge those same feelings of doubt or fear that creep in so easily, almost instantaneously. And that's why I love this psalm, because it allows us to express the full range of emotions to God, even almost at the same moment. It's not like we have to choose one or the other. We serve a God that can hold all of it together. And so we praise and we cry and we praise. And if you look at verses 13 and 14 at the end of this psalm, we are invited in again to believe together that our faith in God will never desert us, no matter what happens. Life without fear is not possible. There will always probably be something that causes fear. But faith in God can still call us to a better way, to not let that fear paralyze us or cripple us. The reason that this psalm comes back to praise again, I believe, is that it reminds us again that in the midst of difficult experiences, we serve a God that never leaves us. As Jan said, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we praise and we cry and we praise. So I was thinking about what this looks like in my own life and in the life of Whitmer Heights. I was reminded of an experience when I was just out of high school, and I was, I shared in another sermon of experience in Birmingham, Alabama, with the after-school program. But what came to my mind this time was another experience in Birmingham, and it was through Eastern Mennonite Missions, the Youth Evangelism Service program. It was five of us. Four of us were literally right out of high school, like 18 or 19 years old. And then our team leader was in her mid-20s. We were a pretty young team living in the middle of the projects in Birmingham. So if you can imagine that scenario, probably my parents were just a little bit nervous, but they were also excited that I wanted to do this. But it was about halfway through our term there down in Birmingham. And it was late at night, one evening, and I heard some gunshots outside, and I was alarmed by it, but I certainly never imagined that it was actually my team leader who had just been shot. And she was able to actually come into the house and say, I need help. And I was able to take her to the hospital, and she went into surgery right away, and praise God, she lived through that experience. But I remember the incredible fear that I felt. Even as our team was driving in our van the next day, going to visit our team leader, Melissa, everything just seemed different. Like we were just so alert to everything, and everything seemed fearful and not right almost. And it's because we never would have imagined that that would have happened to her. And I think about that experience of how our team went through that together. And our team leader had to go back home, and we actually got to live with host families then, but we would still go back into the projects during the day to continue our after-school program and just continuing to build relationships in the community there. But the thing that sticks out to me in that story is the way that fear just kind of was so real at that moment, but then also in the coming days, how our team did not just want to leave or go back home right away. In fact, we wanted to stay there because it actually, the people were wonderful. And they truly cared about us. This was a situation where she was at the wrong place at the wrong time. But that doesn't mean that that neighborhood was a place where we never should have been. And I think it would have been easy to say, I'm never going to come back to this place again because it's just so unsafe. But I felt God teaching me through that experience that you have to lean into that fear, not run from that fear. And remind ourselves again that God is still here with us. Fear is all around us. Sometimes people tell me, I can't believe you live in Lancaster City. Isn't it really scary? Kind of like that. And honestly, no, I'm not scared. Is there violence in Lancaster City? Yes. Is there violence in the Conestoga Valley? Yes. I have really great neighbors. We are just blown away by our neighbors. And it's probably, I'm not scared to live in Lancaster City because I'm walking around there a lot. I see people. I'm around that area a lot. And so I think that that helps to take away some of that fear. And so I guess part of my encouragement, or what I'm asking all of us to figure out together, is if we look at the places that seem so scary or fearful, don't run from them, but be willing to stay curious about them. Whether it's a certain relationship that's difficult, or a certain area that you don't want to go into, or maybe it's your own place of sin or darkness that we just don't want to touch because we don't want to go there. I think part of the invitation that God is giving us is to remember first that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. And so we can keep staying curious to those places. We can keep engaging them and not letting that fear paralyze us. I think it's easy right now to have a lot of fear because if we're honest, media just, it's all around us. Be afraid. If you look at commercials, what are all of them essentially trying to do? They're trying to make us afraid so that we buy the thing that they're trying to sell us that will fix us and not make us afraid. But fear is a very good marketing tactic. If you can make them fearful, then you can very easily control them as well. And so is it no mistake that a consistent message through this story right here is one of not letting fear paralyze us? Does it give space to acknowledge fear, to express honest emotions? Absolutely it does. Absolutely it does. But does it allow us to remain paralyzed by it or to let it control us? No, I don't think it does. I think it says that we serve a God that we can put our trust in first and foremost. Lent is this season of journeying to the cross. And so as you, in our time of reflection here, as you think about your own journey to the cross, as you think about your own story, as you think about the own fears in your own lives, What gives you hope in the midst of that? What gives you hope in your story? The story where you praise and you cry and you praise almost at the very exact same time. The words from Isaiah 41, chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. Emmanuel has come. Amen.